Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's wonderful to be in the with the people of God tonight. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And with the Lord. That's the most important thing, isn't it? That He's with us and we're with Him. And we can find our purpose when we seek Him with all of our heart. He said, seek me, you're going to find me, right? We seek with all of our heart. Everything that's within us, we can know Him. We can know His purpose for our life and His plan and what it is He wants us to do. Glory to God. You know, because I think this Gary was been teaching on the gifts, you know, the gifts differing. Well, your teacher. Well, does that mean you're a Sunday school teacher? Does that mean you're a children's teacher? What kind of teacher are you? Well, praise God. We got a Father that knows. Amen. Are you a Bible school teacher? Are you a scholar? You know, you teach at a university? What's God want? But He knows, doesn't He? And He can get it across to us when we seek Him with all of our heart. Hallelujah. In Him. That's how you find your purpose. Not in taking a test. Not in asking everybody around you, what do you think my gifts are? Because sometimes, you know, it doesn't show up right away. You know, some of the things that I've done, I thought, well, I didn't think I'd ever do, but whatever He says, that's what we do. Because we're being conformed to the image of the Master. Amen. Think about that. In Him. Let's sing that one more time. Amen. In Him.
I'm yours and you are mine.
Glory to God. We belong to Him, but all that He is belongs to us. Glory to God. Realize how big He is. You know, I was watching a little documentary, I guess I'd call it, or a little talk about, you know, the solar system, and they were showing the different stars and how large our solar system, you know, just our galaxy is just a little tiny thing compared to the rest of the world, you know, and we're this little dot of earth in that galaxy, somewhere in the Milky Way galaxy, our neighborhood. And he was talking about that, and he says, well, are you trying to tell me, you know, get me to see how small I am? No, he said, I'm trying to tell you how small you are, you know, how small we really are, but how big our God is. The psalmist said, what is man, Father, that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, right? That He would come to us because He loved mankind. There's something about us that our Father just can't live without. He's going to live forever, and He has, but He just doesn't want to do without. He said, I'm made a way. Glory to God, and I'm glad He did. When there seemed to be no way, sin had barred us out. But Jesus came and brought us in. The precious blood that set us free. What glorious grand liberty. How awesome is the King of glory. Let him rule and reign, I say. Let him rule in our hearts today. Let him come in power and glory, that all may say, he alone is God. He alone is worthy. For the Father is a Father of love. He's a Father of life. One that came to give so that you and I might live. What a God we serve. Hallelujah. The true and the living God. The one that's set apart from all others. The one that knows all. Hallelujah. And came to redeem mankind, to make him his very own. Amen. Glory. He's big. He's awesome. But he cares about you and I enough. Jesus cared. He cared so much to let his son come and die so that we might have that life eternal. The precious blood that was shed for us. It had to be a man. God knew it. Why? Because nothing else would be the perfect substitute. How many know how many sheep had to go through the slaughter, amen, to cover sin? But Jesus said, I'm going to come once for all men, that whosoever will can come unto me and drink of the life, life eternal life, of the life-giving presence of an eternal God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. But he's good. He's good. But you know, he'll give you those too, you know. He'll give anything to us. You know, we begin to seek him. He said, what, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Hallelujah. He said, don't be drunk on wine, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. How? Singing to ourselves and to the Lord. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in our heart. Hallelujah. There's a melody that comes when we know him and walk with him. Amen. And as we were listening to the prophecy about worship, isn't that awesome? Focusing. Really, he's saying focus on me, not the problem. Stay in my presence. The more you stay in that presence, the less that problem is. The smaller it gets, because we realize how big our God is. Amen? How big he is compared to how small that problem is. Glory to God. I was just saying, I don't know why. I just praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. Thank you, Jesus. Well, last time I was here, I was talking a little bit about casting your cares and how when we let cares stay with us, and I talked a little bit about the praise and the worship, the rejoicing. When we do that, we can cast that care on him because he already cares for us. We've got a Father that knows us. A Father that sees us, that's so grand and so large. He knows every need before we ask. Amen. And the reason I think I'm painting this picture of him is because we need it. Man has said, hey, who is he? Religion has done a pretty good job of saying, well, he's a good God. He's nice and all, but he won't do that for you. But he will. And he desires to. When we realize that his love is so grand and so glorious, that who he is a giver. Who he is not a taker. It's not a withholder. But God gives. And he gives to me upon approach. When I approach him, he hears me. And he answers me. Because he wants to care for me and for you. He wants to take care. He wants to take care of you. Yeah, but this problem is so vast, so big. And I don't know, I guess if we had a, I'm not sure how big it would have to be in comparison, but you know, your problem's not even really a dot on a piece of paper. It's not even that big compared to God. It's smaller than that. Because he's massive. And from his mouth, all things were created. God said. Amazing. Praise you, Lord. Okay? So, when we go after God and we're asking for things, and sometimes people don't receive certain things because we tend to allow that care to, we're thinking on the problem and we're taking the care instead of casting the care on him. And so through what? Rejoicing when trials come. What did James say? It said, count it all joy when you fell into diverse temptations or different tests and trials of life. Count it all joy. Because your Father is not the one bringing it to you. It's the enemy of your soul. He's coming to steal something from you, to try to destroy you, and try to take you out. But when I realize how big he is and how much the Father loves me, that I know that I can see who he is, my trust in him continues to grow exponentially, I say. You know, as you get those, what's those deals, you know, the power of 10, you know, 5 to the power of 10 is, you know, so much, or 1,000 or 1,000,000. You know, it grows as we experience him. It's not that it gets any larger, but we recognize it and it becomes larger to us. He becomes bigger in our mind. He becomes more real in our mind as we experience him. Because we've got a God that we not just can hear about, not that we just know he saved us, but we can experience who he is. Because he came and made his home on the inside of you and I. A part of him came in when you got born again. That nature changed from darkness to light. And the very life of God moved in. The very nature of God came in. When that nature came in, then I can begin to experience and know a Father that wants the best for me. See, we pray, the Bible says we pray and miss that we can spend what we get on ourselves. But when we begin to realize how much he loves us, and then God is love, and that love and that nature becomes such a part of us and so real in us, then we're not looking to ourselves. We're looking to him and to others and to be a person who he is, which is love. Okay? Because when love begins to be real with on the inside of each and every one of us, then we know he'll do that thing for me. Why? Because he loves me. You know, you ever see a child ask their mother or father? You know, they have all confidence that they're going to get it. Or someone they love greatly. Gary talks about his granddaughter all the time. You know, they get it, you know. Why? Because they know they're going to do it. They feel secure. They have no fear. No fear. No, they're not. I don't know any child that's afraid to ask. Oh, can I have an ice cream? You know, they'll just tell the truth. Most of the time in a good way. Hallelujah. You know, about what's going on anyway. You know, I remember one time my father was looking into purchasing a business in Michigan. So I went with him and we spent the night with the couple that owned the business. And it's about 8 o'clock at night. Don't you want to go to bed? I said, no. You know, it was 8 o'clock at night. It's still kind of light, you know. So, but I was about 8 or 9, you know, somewhere in there. And I just said no. You know, I could tell. You know, I guess my dad could tell. They're trying to get us out of the way. You know, just to get me out of the way so they could talk or whatever. So he told me to go to bed. I said, okay, I'll go to bed. But I don't know why he said that. But I was talking about children, because when we are like children with the Father, then there's a confidence, a trust. We can confidently trust Him. We can confidently expect to receive things from Him. We can confidently know that He's going to bring a miracle to our life. We can confidently know that we're not going to stay the same. That we can change. Our nature can change. Our life can change. Our nature is the same, but it changes. Well, we change as we recognize who we really are. And we allow that to come forward and we die to what was. When I was angry, I'm no longer angry. It doesn't bother me anymore because you can't push my button. Because I know a Father that already accepted me. He's already reached down there and changed me. So who I am is not who I was. Because who I acted like before was not the truth. The true me began to come forward, and now you can't make me angry. Because I died to the anger that was within me, because love came and it cast out. See, when love enters in, that's what helps us to eradicate that fear and doubt, really. So, well, that's why, that's the whole purpose. That's why Dave says fasting and forcing what the flesh has already been declared, which is dead. This flesh cannot control me unless I allow it. It cannot control the real me on the inside. Because the real me already has the life of God, the love of God, the nature of God, and the power of God, which wants to come forward like never before. It's pushing, 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 pushing. And if I allow my flesh to step out of the way, if I can take my flesh and say, no, you will not control me, but this nature that's in me, the life and power and love of God is going to control me. It's going to take me from where I was to where He is, which is pure love in my Father. Then there's going to be some miracles all around me and all around you and all around each one. Because when we see how He loves me, then that same love that's in me is poured forth freely. He said, freely you receive, freely you give. We love our neighbor, what? As we love ourselves. But we love ourselves as we receive that love of the Father. He said, you know, Dave said the great phrase, God cannot love Himself through us. We have to do it. I can't love myself for you. That's what God says. But we can love Him. Because He gave, the love is actually yours. It was given to you. Galatians 5:6, for in Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. It says faith which worketh by love. And I see two sides on this, to be honest. As I was praying, I said, Lord, there's a side where God loves us And we have to receive that love. But then there's also, as we receive that love, we become and we are that love. And that love that He gave is what exudes from within us. Because we're changed from glory to glory. From one degree of glory to another degree of glory. From one degree of His love. What is the glory of God? The essence of all He is. He is love. But in that glory, in that love, in that place with Him, there's a power that comes and sets men so free that no fear can stop him. No fear of man, no fear of sin, no fear of temptation, no fear of failure, no fear of not being accepted, no fear of any kind. Now, there may be danger, but there won't be fear. You know, if I get up on top of a mountain up here, I stand up on one foot, I may not be afraid. You know, this is a mountain. If it's straight down, I can stand up here on one foot, woo, you know, if I'm not afraid. I may not be afraid. Doesn't mean there's not danger, but there's no fear. There doesn't have to be fear. I'm just saying, if I'm secured by a rope, I probably wouldn't do it otherwise. But, but there's a place in Him where that fear cannot stop you at all. Because what happens to us so many times, and I'm sure it happened to some of the disciples, well, apparently there was an unbelief and a fear. Well, maybe it's, hey, how come it's not happening? What's going on? Jesus says, well, you have unbelief. This is going to come out by prayer and fasting. So there's tools that take us from where we are to where He is in that love. He said, we have peace that passes understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory. But there's a love divine, an everlasting love that comes from the Father that no matter what, regardless, He loves us. And we can receive that love. And we can believe He wants the best for us. He said, I desire that you have life and life half full. No, He didn't, did He? You know, I desire that you have life and a lot of sickness and disease. No, that's not what He said. He said, I desire that you have life and life more abundantly, complete, full, total, just like Jesus had with the Father, where you know that every time I ask Him, He's going to come through for me. Well, glory. I didn't plan all this out, so or any of this part out, so we're going to keep rolling, hallelujah, because He is. And as He is, so are we in this world. But there's a love, there's a place that love in the Father that we experience as we worship Him. As Dave's been talking about, the worship, because as we worship Him, the Bible says what? God inhabits the praises of His people. He comes, He stills the enemy, doesn't it? It stops our mind from going all those other places. As the prophecy was talking tonight of the worship, you know, stay in my presence. How? By keeping your mind, worshiping Him. I glorify you, Father. Well, I got things to do, I know. So you glorify God while you take your groceries in from the car, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're such a good provider. Oh, I love you today, Daddy. What do you want to do? Hallelujah. You want to stop by John's house and get that guy that wheelchair? What do you want to do today, Jesus? What do you want to do today? These are God thoughts. These are what God wants. What do you have in mind today, Lord? We don't have ourselves on our mind. We don't have what we need on our mind. We don't have what we think we need, but we begin to get what God desires flowing through our thinking, because His presence comes. And as Dave says, baptizes our senses, so to speak, what we feel, see, think, hear, smell. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's awesome, Lord. Thank you. Because in that presence, there's such a love that begins to pool, and we become a reservoir of that love. As we worship, as we fast, as we pray in the Holy Ghost, as we meditate the Word of God, God's truths produce such a reservoir that nothing is impossible with Him. To where nothing becomes impossible to us. Because we're in Him and He's in us, and we are one with Him. Not in deity, but in family. Because we're sons, He's the Father. How many know what Father says goes, right? Anybody ever see that TV show, Wait Till Your Father Comes Home? You know? Long time ago. But anyway. Or maybe you heard your mother say that, Wait Till Your Father Comes Home. You know it's going to be trouble, amen? Because mom's all right. She put the law down. She didn't want you to do that, but when Dad gets home, I'm in big trouble. Because she's going to tell Dad, oh, Mom, please don't tell Dad. Please, Mom. Please don't tell Dad. Please. Please. I promise I won't ever do it again. Just wait till your father gets home. Oh, boy. You know, I think it's pretty good for you. You know, it kind of gives you a little time to think about it. She's putting a little fear of of the father in there. But anyway, I don't know why I got off on that, but I did. But faith begins to rise up. I believe, you know, it becomes easy to believe God for what you need. Because you know who He is. Yes, He's provider. And because I know He loves me so much. I'll share this. I think it'd be all right. What one particular person shared with me this week. And it blessed me so much. And I've realized that, but it also kind of hurts sometimes, because God comes and talks to you and He says, well, Lord, how come I didn't get that? Well, you didn't believe that I loved you that much to give it to you. What do you mean, Lord? I do love you. Yeah. You love me. It's not so great, you know. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And that love, but we have to believe that He wants to do it. And the more we experience of that love for ourselves, the more of that love we'll give away. The more of His power He can release. And the more of that, the grace of God comes for the changes that are taking place as we die to that flesh. As we die to the things that are holding us back. It's not that they have so much power. We're already victory over them. But we have so much going around in the world around us, and so many things that pull on this flesh. We have to allow ourselves to say, no, I see what God sees. I say what God says about me. I begin to take the Word of God and find out, hey, I've been justified by faith. I don't have to fear. God didn't give me that spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. The Word of God becomes real on the inside. Like Gary shared his, I recommend that highly, his In Christ or In Him Confessions. If you go to GaryCarpenter.org, you can download them and read them on the computer or print them off and give them to your friends even if you want to. They're free. But, you know, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. I've been justified freely, Father, by that grace, something that I couldn't do myself. Hallelujah. what you have done for me. And we see what he already did, but then we see what he's going to do. Whatever he asks of me, I can then believe and I can do. I can trust that the provision will be there because he's faithful and true. Because I see what he said, but I also know who he is. And faith becomes easy for me. I'm not saying I've arrived there yet, but I'm walking in that direction. I'm seeing changes begin to take place. More and more things come because I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. I asked him and I know he's faithful. He's going to do it. Well, how do you know? Because he said he would. He said, I'd provide every need according to your riches and glory. Lord, this is what I need. I know you're going to do it. You asked me to do this. This is how much I need. Okay. Just a few times of seeing it starts getting stronger. Amen. Hallelujah. But we don't have to see it to believe it. We have to believe it so that we receive it. Because we know who he is. So that love comes down in us, to us, through us. Everything that Christ is, in us, to us, and through us, begins to be developed. Hallelujah. As we spend time in his presence, fasting, praying in tongues primarily, other forms of prayer, meditating his word. So, well, you've been saying that an awful lot lately. Well, yeah, because these are keys that we need to know, that we do know, but we need to keep doing. How many know it doesn't do any good to know something and not act on it? It is not going to benefit you. James says, hey, show me your faith. What? I show you my faith by my works. You show me your faith by what you do. Well, I thought it was by grace, brother. Well, it is. He provided all the grace you need to do. It's a grace that he gave for every man. He didn't make it hard. He made it easy for you and I. But Jude 19 says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. Part of praying in the Holy Ghost is going to help keep you in the love of God. Everything he is in you, to you, what? And through you, begins to develop on the inside of you. And that love is part of that. Or most of that, if not, you know. When we have the love of the Father, he can do anything. When we experience, I've seen people experience, how many experience the touch of God's love? You got saved and you experienced that. And then how many in here now? Okay, put your hand down. That's great. Almost everybody, you know. It was a great feeling. You got free. You felt the lightness. You felt God. Everything was wonderful. Oh, I mean, I got it all, I'm telling you. How many ever then prayed in tongues for a while and you got another touch? And you experienced a seemingly, at least to you, a deeper understanding of that love, a greater revelation, a greater knowing of how much God loves me. How many could raise your hand and say that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because it takes you into a place where all things are possible. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm singing it quite this way, but I am. Hallelujah. It's the way he wants it to come out. So, thank you, Father. But that praying in the Spirit is one way. We talked a little bit about worship, but praying in the Spirit is one way that the love of God begins to become real to you. Why? Because it brings revelation of who you are in him. He begins to reveal to you who he is and who you are. That you're everything that you're not and everything that you are. Sometimes it starts out with the not, you know. Oh, I'm not in charge. He is in charge. I'm not the one that's supposed to make all the decisions, but I'm supposed to listen and let Him make the decisions. And as we read the Word of God, the truth of the Word, that truth is revealed to such a degree. Hallelujah. Because the same author that wrote it begins to explain it to you and I. The more we pray in the Spirit, the more of the love of the Father, the more of the understanding of His Word begins to become real on the inside of us. And that development is what begins to not just set us, it sets us free. But then as it sets us free, that love is free to flow to others to set them free. Or else he couldn't have put, you know, Paul couldn't have wrote 1 Corinthians 13. He said, this is what love is. Anybody ever tried to walk in love and you weren't really transformed to it yet? You know? I like what Dave says. You know, the husband or wife, you know, they're doing that thing. And he brings her pancakes, her favorite breakfast, you know, and puts the rose there and the coffee's there and the juice that she just loves. And once in a while, he brings in a little Snicker bar, you know, with it probably. And just makes it perfect. Just what she wants. And she enjoys it in the first day, and it happens again. He does the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. And finally she says, well, don't we have anything besides pancakes? And of course he goes, well, you don't even appreciate me. Look how much I'm loving you. Look what I'm doing. Anybody ever tried that with God? You know, it should be my turn, God. Look how much I'm praying. Look how much I'm fasting, Lord. I'm doing all of it. Look at me, Lord. Isn't it my turn, Lord? I want to be seen. I mean, it's about time. You know? I mean, it's been 6 months, God. Look at me. Or maybe two, you know, whatever. He says, just a minute, son. You know, and nothing happens, you know, and it just doesn't seem like anything's going on, but you keep praying and you keep seeking God and you allow yourself to be built up above the flesh and allow the love of the Father to become real on the inside of you so that you can begin to know I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted of my Father. How many ever known that truth? Didn't know that truth, but then found that truth that He accepts you. He already accepted you. He said, you are my daughter. You're my son. You're my child. You're mine. I love you. I accept you. Hallelujah. I remember the day I got accepted. Hallelujah. And it wasn't to the university. And it wasn't to some great promotion. Or some country club. I didn't get accepted. But I got accepted by a Father that loved me. He said, son, you don't have to try to please any man. I'm already pleased with you. I've already accepted you. You don't have to work any harder to try to get somebody to say good job. Was I doing that? You know, not consciously. But that's really what I was looking for. We have a Father that's big, that's willing, that's full of love, that is love, that is building on the inside of us to produce such a reservoir. Hallelujah, and I believe it's reservoiring up and the gates are going to be, floodgates are going to come open, amen. Hallelujah. He says, when I open those floodgates, nothing can stop you. There'll be no disease, no sickness. It's not hard for God. Those are easy things. What He's looking for is a heart that loves Him. And sometimes that's not as easy. And you say, well, why? Because man was flawed with sin. And now he's trying to get in and get his mind over to believe that he's not flawed with sin anymore. And everybody around you, you live in a fallen world, and things pull on your flesh. The things you see, the things we smell. But the Lord said there's a place in him where faith is all there is, and truth and freedom and health. It's called revival. He is a father. Hallelujah, that loves us. 1 Corinthians 13. Maybe I'm going to get there after all. Hallelujah. You know, I write things down. I don't know why I do, but I do for myself mainly because I'm learning. And he's showing me those things. But the love that God gave, is described in 1 Corinthians 13. And if you notice that chapter, I mean, Gary's been talking on the gifts, but that chapter's right in the middle of 12, 13, and 14, isn't it? That even when we operate through the gifts of the Spirit, we still need the love of the Father. We still need the love of God. It needs to be done. As we pursue love, we're going to see more of those operate. How was Jesus moved? He was moved with compassion, wasn't he? And healed their sick. He was moved with compassion and taught them. He was moved with compassion and fed the hungry. And as this love reservoir develops in us, there'll be such a compassion, the compassion of the Father, that rises up within. And sometimes some of you already sense it. You feel it. You know it. It's on the inside. It rises up so strong, and you so want it. And he wants it so much more. To where that compassion so overrides what we see, what we feel, that it's easy for us. Say, what is it you need? The Father desires to give you the bread. Whatever it is you need. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whether it's $10 million or $5, the Father can do it. And he wills to when he has a heart that can receive it. Because it knows how much the Father loves them, that they believe that the Father will do it for them. We believe that. Hallelujah. Well, 1 Corinthians 13, let's just start with verse 4. It says, love or charity or love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. This love that God gives us is not for ourselves per se. We know he loves us. But it's a love that we are able to walk in and will cause us to not think of ourselves so much, but to think toward others as well. Lord, is this what I'm... Yeah. Because this love, what first thing he says, it suffers long. That means it's not talking about suffering long if you're sick or whatever. You may suffer long. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about through circumstance that came upon you. Perhaps somebody says something to you. I'm to suffer long with you. With your boss who's unruly and unkind. With your friend, your neighbor, family member, whatever it is. God says this love can suffer long. In other words, it can walk through trouble, through trial, with kindness. It suffers long and is kind. Anybody ever tried to suffer long and be kind? We need to try. But we need to also turn more inward and allow the Holy Spirit to do, let our nature come forward. As we pray in the Holy Spirit, it's going to come forward more and more and more. Because that nature is full of the love of the Father. He said, I've given the love of God, right? It's been poured forth into our heart by the Holy Spirit, right? The love of God, Romans 5:8. The love of God's poured forth. I think it's Romans 5:8. I'm not sure if that's the right reference, but it's in Romans. That the love of God is poured forth into our heart, what? By the Holy Spirit. That love is there. It's in there. And we can allow it to come forward. It's a love that can suffer long and be kind, regardless of the circumstance that it's walking through. He says, well, that's hard on the flesh. But it's really not hard. We need not say that. When he said, I could do that because my Father gave me a nature that's able. Thank you, Father. Well, what if I don't do that? Then you keep practicing. You keep praying in the Holy Spirit. You keep worshiping God, allowing that love to continue to pool on the inside until that's all that comes forward. Anybody ever made a mistake? You said something you shouldn't have said, or you did something you shouldn't have done? No, I didn't think so. But I did. And I didn't know what to say because I'd be at my work and the Lord says, I said, I don't know what to say. I mean, I wasn't perfect, right? Maybe I said something a little harshly or some way that I shouldn't have. Or I walked off and shouldn't have, you know, with the wrong attitude, you know. And everybody knew it. You know? I remember one time, I don't want to share that, but I will anyway. We bought this new car, brand new car. And we never had a new car in our lives. My wife and I got a new car. And we shouldn't have bought a brand new car because it was high interest. But somehow, the wonderful Christian person that helped us said, well, the numbers just lined up. It's yours. I said, really? Magically? He said, well, I put the numbers in. Somehow it just came out. It's yours. I don't know what numbers he put in, but we couldn't get it anywhere else, but he could work magic. So, praise the Lord. We were introduced to our new car with at that time, 15% loan. Woo! On a new car. And which I didn't really, it wasn't too big a deal. We that's the only payment we had. We paid it off as quick as we could, got out of that mess, thank God. But something went wrong with it. We had a blowout. So we drove it up to the dealership and I said, well, we had a blowout. You know, it said it's covered bumper to bumper. That's what they said. Bumper to bumper, you know, isn't that part of the car, you know, the tire? Well, yes, that's part of the tire. The tire is part of the car, sir, but you didn't get the tire warranty. Well, what do you mean the tire warranty? What are you talking about? You said it's bumper to bumper. I thought that tire fixed. Nah! That's God. That's what I want. And made a fool of myself, embarrassed my wife. She was so, honey, let's go. And, oh no, I wasn't finished yet. You know? No, this is what they said, bumper to bumper. Sir, I cannot help you. You know, he was nice as he could be, you know, but, you know, of course, I wasn't. So, great, like Dave says, you know, did you lead him to the Lord if that? No. You know? Did you witness to him? No. I witnessed to him how not to be a Christian. Were you saved? Yes, I was. Unfortunately, I displayed myself haughtily, which the Bible says not to do. Love does not display itself haughtily. See, so what changed in you? Do you do that now? No, I don't do that. I haven't done that in a long time. At least 3 weeks. No, not really. Not really. Not really, not really, not really. I haven't done that in years, but like that, no. No, seriously. They're like laughing like I'm not telling the truth, but I am. You can't lie in church. But anyway, I don't know why I told that story. I keep digging myself deeper here, brother. I need help, somebody. But anyway, God's merciful. And he helped me out of that situation. And finally, my wife got me out of the store, and I calmed down. And, you know, it was all right anyway. God worked it out. We bought a new tire, you know, cost you $40 more. And at that time, $40 or $50, whatever they were. And God worked that out. But my point is, there's a change that takes place. And what would you say? My wineskin broke. Or as Jesse Duplantis says, a fit of carnality came upon me. Because I thought I was being violated, and I know how to fix it. And I'm going to get this done. I'm telling you, and they're going to do it for me because I'm so important. I paid big money for that car. But I signed the papers. And I did not get the tire warranty. And I did not deserve a tire. And thank God, I'm glad he didn't give it to me. Because I learned a valuable lesson. And I didn't want to be like that, but I've seen other people be like that. So I kind of acted like them. And I thought they were a fool then. And I didn't like it when they acted like that, even me just being around there. I don't know why I got off on this. But anyway, there's a change that takes place, though, when the Father's love becomes so real and you experience it to such a degree. It sets you so free. You're not concerned about yourself anymore. You start thinking about somebody else. You know, when two people get married, you know, if they're not... Here I go meddling again. I don't know why I got into that. You know, when two people get married, there's changes that take place. You're now responsible, not just to yourself, but for your partner. Women and men have certain responsibilities that you have to them. And sometimes things aren't always so smooth when you first get started. And it takes a little time to develop. Say, wow, I got my wife living with me and it's different. And everybody's, you know, everything's so wonderful and great right at first, you know. I'm helping her wash the dishes and she's helping, you know, me fix the car. You know, oh, she brings me a glass of water and some wrenches. Thank you, honey. You know, and everything's so wonderful and sweet and great. Until, you know... Something takes place that was already resident on the inside of you. In your flesh. Something that you had learned. She crossed the wrong boundary, I'll tell you. She shouldn't have done that. You know, that was wrong. What do you mean I was wrong? You know, and it's on. You know, and my wife is so sweet. She is so slow to anger. I've never seen anybody as slow as she is to anger. I'm telling you, if you came to me and said, my wife yelled at you, I would tell you, you deserved it. I am that convinced that she would not just, you know, she wouldn't just go off on you. In that area, she's real strong. But, you know, she doesn't want to talk to me. So she clams up and I'm yelling and screaming at her and it doesn't matter because she won't say anything. So now we can't resolve it because nothing's said, nothing's done. That's what they say, opposites attract. I guess that's so. I don't know. But over time, we realized after we'd been married about 4 or 5 years, we began reading, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, just reading it. We didn't really do anything special or make a big confession of it, but we read the Bible every day, and then we begin to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 together, where love endures long and is patient and kind. It's never envious or boils over with jealousy. It's not boastful or vainglorious. It does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It's not rude and unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Hallelujah. But it's self-seeking. Amen. It's not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It's not rude and unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Hallelujah. It believes the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, well, did you memorize it? Not really. We just kept reading it. You read something long enough, one day we just realized we accidentally memorized it. And so if we had one of these little tiffs or something comes up, something's not right, we gave each other permission to stop. You can stop. And we'd say the love scriptures to each other. And guess what? The love of God comes into the situation. Amen. Say, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to. I'm not self-seeking. I'm not touchy. I'm not fretful. I'm not resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. Yeah, but they did me wrong. It doesn't. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to that suffered wrong. Doesn't mean you're a doormat. Love doesn't just lay down and let people walk over it. But it comes to a place where it doesn't hurt you and you can't be harmed by what somebody else says anymore, because it's a place of death to the flesh. The Bible says the insults of those that insult me fall on Christ. So those insults don't begin to bother you anymore. Now I can go around certain members of my family. Sometimes they even say terrible things to my face. And I stand there and I'm amazed. I thought, man, they used to really just get me so angry, because they know what gets you angry too. Not them, but the devil, you know, that uses them. You know, I know I had my oldest brother could call me up. Boy, he'd get me riled up in no time. He was just good at it, you know. But it wasn't him. He wasn't my problem. I was. It was me. And so many times we want to blame everybody else. It was mommy and daddy. It was brother and sister. It was my neighbor. They hurt me. They tried to destroy me. I know. And God says, forgive. Because love pays no attention to that suffered wrong. It forgives. It releases. It holds blameless. Over and over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. But it bears up, pays no attention to the suffered wrong. It doesn't rejoice either at unrighteousness or injustice, right? Things that aren't right. It doesn't rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but it rejoices when right and truth prevail. That means sometimes love takes a stand. I had some people want to do something in my house, and I said, no, you're not going to do that in my house. This house belongs to God. If you want to do it down the street or somewhere else or in somebody else's house, then you can go there. But you cannot do that in my house. Why? Because this house belongs to the Lord. It's His house. If you wouldn't do it in heaven, don't do it in this house. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm not talking about something small, but, you know, certain things are not going to be done there, you know. If you got somebody staying there, you know, they're not going to have their boyfriend over, you know, so they can have fun together. Hallelujah. Some parents do that. They allow their children to do that these days. It's unfortunate. It's ungodly. It's wrong. Sinful. It has consequences. It hurts. It leaves us with pain that needs to be died to. Doesn't mean it's not hopeless. Nothing's hopeless with God. Mistakes are not hopeless. I mean, look at Sarah and Abraham. They made a mistake. Still affecting the world today. There's consequences to it. But he still made it right. And he'll still make you right. Hallelujah. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the almost too good to be true news. It is so good. It just seems like it's almost impossible to be true. But it is true. Jesus did die. The blood is enough. His love is real. And it does live in us. And it can come forward in those ways. It can release. It can forgive. It can take no account of an evil done. It can pay it no attention to suffered wrong. It doesn't have to have its own way all the time. You know, that's the problem with a lot of the world. You know, we want to say, well, what about me? And I remember I had a job and they were promoting this guy and he was hired after me. And I know I'm doing a good job. And it really wasn't about getting the job. But they didn't even consider me. You know, that's what really hurt. They didn't even consider me. Can you believe that? You know, I mean, I'm only 25 years old, but you know, I still could have been considered, you know. But, and it sounds a little funny now, but things like that are real. You know, when somebody else is promoted over us, we want to become what love is not. Going to be jealous of them, is it? It's going to say, hey, I want to help them. Hey, I'm going to forward all my ideas and make them look good. Why? Because that's what love does. Because that's what the Father does. And when I'm in love, the enemy can't stop me. When I'm operating out of that place of love, there's nothing that God's going to withhold from me. He can't withhold anything from me. The enemy's not going to be able to stop anything from coming to me. Because I'm in love. I'm in love with my Father. Who loves me, and that same love is flowing out of me in action, in deed, in word, in what I see, in what I say. I remember one time there was a lady that was in our church. It was a small church that I had just started going to. For some reason, she just acted like she wouldn't shake my hand, and many times I was just trying to be friendly, you know, and it's a small church, maybe 20 people, you know, so you're shaking everybody's hand. But this person, when I came to them, would just totally turn their back to me. And it really, I thought, man, it really, you know, my poor emotions were hurt, you know. And I had to make a decision. I was a young believer, young in the Lord, but I had to make a decision. I'm going to love that person, Father. I'm not going to say anything about them. And I remember one day I was taking this lady home. And thank God for the Holy Ghost. He'll put a watch on your lips if you'll ask him to. She says, well, you know, and I don't know what we're talking about, but they were asking me something. And I said something. I said, oh, I'm not going to say that. What is it? I said, no. Just like that, no. And of course, you know, the person's trying to get the gossip because the devil wanted me to gossip. It's called gossip when you talk evil about somebody, even if it's true. I don't know why I said that so strong, but I did. And it's so, because it hurts people. And I remember I thank God for the Holy Spirit because he said, no, don't say that. Oh yeah, that's right, Lord, I'm not going to say that. Because I asked him to help me. But see, he'll help you. But if you override him, you're going to have a problem. It was probably a couple of weeks later. She came directly to me. Came to my apartment. She found out where I live. Comes to the door. You've been talking about me, haven't you? Thank God this one time. I said, no, I haven't said one word about you. Except that Jesus loves you. She's born again. She's trying to love the Lord, but apparently there are so many hurts. See, sometimes we judge people. But there's so many hurts on the inside that they think everybody around them is against them. When really they're for them. I said, I'm totally for her. And she changed. She really began to change. And she would shake my hand. You know, but I had to make a decision. I had to make a determination. When someone is against me, I'm going to love them anyway. When someone says, I don't want you, I want to make a bigger circle and include you. I'm not saying you have to walk hand in hand with every person that is coming against you. You know, but we do have to walk in love toward them. And the Bible says love thinks the best. It starts thinking the best of other people, believes the best. Well, I think so-and-so is this. Well, you know, I don't believe that. I told the guy that one time. He came to me tell me about some preacher, something happened. I just said, I don't believe it. He said, you don't believe it? Well, it's true. I said, I don't believe it. I said, I don't believe it. Well, that preacher did this and that. I said, I don't believe it. Sorry. Don't talk to me about it anymore. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't need something else for me to get out of my mind and out of my life. I don't need that garbage. Scary says, my ears are not trash cans for the devil's work. Not only that, come to find out, even if the guy did do it, what if he repented? God said he didn't do it. That's how God thinks about him. I believe the best. I believe the blood's enough. I believe the blood cleanses it. Even if they're guilty, it cleanses and frees. And they're guiltless. Yes, in the annals of heaven, but also in my book, because I'm of my Father. And His love lives in me. And His love is already forgiven. Doesn't mean you have to trust the person in every area if they stole $10 million from you. But you can still forgive. Trust is something that's earned, that they would learn to come back. But you can still be their friend. You can still love them and care for them. And if God says, I bless them. How can I bless them, Lord? He said, bless those that despitefully use you. Bless them. Give to them. That's the love of the Father. And that love's in you and I. And that love comes out as we fellowship with Him, because everything He is in us, to us, and through us begins to flow forth like a river. And it refreshes people. It sets them free. It doesn't bring condemnation. You know, people don't need to be condemned. Most of us, you know, we got enough of that from the sins we do remember. You know, the enemy comes and he keeps battering and keeps bringing those videos back up. But we got a Father that loves us. And He'll take you to those places to where you remember, but there's no more pain. Hallelujah. I can remember some things in my life, but I have no pain. I'm free. I can share it. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't embarrass me. I was full of fear till I was 28 years old. It was dictating my life. I didn't even know fear was dictating to me. I didn't know it till the Father revealed it to me. I didn't know I was looking for His acceptance. I was looking for a Father that would say, hey, good job. I'm proud of you. You know, and I had a Father from heaven that already says, I'm proud of you. I accept you. You're doing a good job. I accept you as you are because of the blood of my Son. I receive you as my own. I don't know why I'm getting on all this tonight, but it's good anyway. Amen? Isn't that true? Because the Father wants us to know how much He loves each one of us. And as we experience and pool that love, that same love will flow to others and set them free. Because sometimes what a person needs is they need somebody that's going to suffer long and love them. Because the pain was so great and the devastation seems so harsh. But we got a Father that will come in and set them free in a moment of time. Take them from a mind that is insane to a mind that is sane. Because you see, fear brings torment. And torment from the enemy sometimes can be almost unbearable for many people. Drives them insane, drives them to want to kill themselves. That's a devil. Hallelujah. He works that way. He works on emotions. He works on feelings. He works on the outward circumstance, and he's pretty good at it. He tries to get other people to help, and he works on both sides, see? When somebody comes against you, see, he tells you one thing, but then he's using them in another way, and they didn't mean it that way, but that's the way you received it because that's how he twisted it. That's how your thinking got so twisted. And it wasn't even really that way, but it seemed that way to you. It seemed wrong, even though it wasn't maybe wrong. Amen. I know people weren't, gals, you were wonderful home. Her parents loved her to life. Loves her still. Wonderful people. They still love her. But she doesn't think they love her. She still believes her parents don't love her. And they've always loved her. That's the devil. That's the demon. That's the power the enemy tries to come. We're not messing. I'm not glorifying his power. I'm just saying his power is strong and he's pretty good. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to go by the Spirit into the things of God and into the love of God so that people like that can be set free in a moment to where the glory of God, the worship of God comes, where there's that corporate setting that Ellen was talking about, where they can come in and we can help them be free because they sense the love of God for the first time in their life, the trueness, and to such a degree they come to their senses. They say, hey, I need to be born again. I need Jesus. I need to be free. Hallelujah. I need the Holy Ghost. I need these things in my life. What is this that you have? I want it. We're to make people jealous because God is so good and his love is so real. They want what you have. Do you know they were drawn, the sinners were drawn to Jesus. The religious folks, the one kept casting him out. The sinners were just drawn to him. They were drawn to what? The love. To something that they could realize and see. Why is he so full of joy and peace? And there's just a glow about you. Not only a glow, but there's a reality. When they have a need, they call you. Because they know the prayer is going to be answered. And it's a testimony of the living God. They say, I need to know him too. And you can say, you can know him just like I do. You can have that reality of a relationship with the Father of love that loves me. And that love can be a demonstration to those about me. Where sickness is not difficult for me. It's no problem. It doesn't matter. Oh, is it a hangnail? Okay. You know, is it a headache? Okay. Oh, is it cancer? Okay. What's wrong with you? I got AIDS. It's all over my body. Okay. It's no problem. I've got failure, organ failure everywhere. Okay. I'm almost dead. Okay. I am dead. Okay. All the way down to death, because the only one that has power of death and life is the Father. He is the resurrection and the life. And he can resurrect anyone, whether it be in the soul, in the body, doesn't matter. But those things are easy when the heart is yielded to him. When the Holy Spirit develops us and we let that love come shining in. It wells up on the inside that others may begin to see. We become a shining light that men come running to and they receive of freely. So as we enter into worship, as we enter into prayer, as we allow the Word of God in fasting throughout the year, we're going to begin to see the miracles take place like never before. For the love of the Father will be so real. People will be knocking at your door. They'll be calling on your phone. They'll be looking you up because the glory of God is coming. Hallelujah. That's it. Kind of stopped abruptly to me, but hallelujah. The glory of God is coming. And it's on the inside of you. It's on the inside of me. That's where it is, and that's where it's coming. And that's where it's coming through. Because he's going to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm just going to stop because, hallelujah, I think I am. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. So I want us to be reminded of that place in him. That place that we can tap into through praying in the Holy Ghost and worship primarily. You know, to see that presence come to such a degree that we experience and know for ourselves, God loves me. I remember one day I'd been praying up here and I'd gotten lost in worship and I don't even know if I realized it was Dave, but he was standing out there. I said, and I mean, I'm just weeping and crying. God loves me. He really loves me. You know, he loves me. God loves me. You know, and you're thinking, what's wrong with him? You know, absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. He loves me. You know, I got a taste of how much he loves me. And I'm gaining more of that as he loves me in this area. I believe he'll love me even in this area. And I believe, Father, that you love me so much, you'll do that for me too. To the place where I got to be careful what I ask for because I know I'll get it. I got to be sure I want it. Because he's my Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you get too much stuff and there's responsibilities, right? You know, you get all this stuff, you know. Then I got to find somebody to take care of my stuff. I got to find somewhere to store my stuff. Then I got to find time to use my stuff. You know, I'm trying to get rid of my stuff. Hallelujah. So I'm free to have just him. You know, there's certain things that, you know, whatever we need, we'll have. You need a plane, sister? You need to go around the world, do you? Hallelujah. It's available. He's going to bring those things. Glory to God. He'll pay for the fuel. Don't worry. He's got enough. You know, he made the sun. You know, he knows how to make fuel. Sun's been burning up there for a long time now. Thousands of years. And it's still raging from one spoken word from his mouth. Isn't that awesome? Isn't he big? Isn't he awesome? Hallelujah. When we see how big he is, we really see how small problems can be, how insignificant little needs are to him. It's not that he doesn't care. He does. But he'll meet him. It's not hard for him. It's not difficult. He cares so much. He's going to take care of it. He's already thinking about it before we ever ask for it. I think I shared the last time. I asked for something, and like the next day I got it. I said, well, he must have been thinking about it before I got it. It was already on the way because I got it the next day. I thought, wow, what a good father. It's really true. You know, I remember one time I didn't know what I was going to do. My wife says, we need at least $600, you know, the big money, you know, to finish paying these bills. And what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. We're going to trust God, I guess. You know, I went off to work. I don't know. I said, well, we'll just trust God. He's faithful. He said he'd supply our needs. So took off and I went to work, had a good day, came back. That day had a greater day because when I got home in the mailbox was a check. $675 check. I said, from my student loan that I was paying off. They said, sir, I knew I had like a few more payments. They said, no, sir, you overpaid your student loan. Amen. It says, I'm like, I what? No, you over, no. Are you sure? So I was afraid to cash check because I thought, well, I better call them first because I don't want to have to pay this money back. You know, you get in, then you're in big trouble. And so the next day I call him and I said, is this real? I mean, are you sure it's paid? You know, I don't have to make any more payments. No, sir, you don't have any. You overpaid. And that's the check we sent you. That's correct. Okay, thank you. Hey, baby, guess what? God's faithful. Hallelujah. That's just one time. I don't know why I got into that, but he's faithful and he's going to take care of us. And he's going to lead us into that place of love. Where nothing is impossible. Amen to him or us.